All right, let me just confirm. Jed, are you with us?
I am. I made it back.
All righty. We are set and ready to roll for our Media Bits Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you in media and ad sales. We are delighted that you're here with us, whether you're selling ads into print, into your newsletter, or onto your website, or a combination of those, whether your CIRC is free, paid, or controlled, you're in the right spot. For those of you that sell ads for newspapers, magazines, specialties, or niche publications, you are in the right place. We're delighted that you're here with us. As always, at the beginning of all our educational teleseminars, we always invite you to be present, to close your office door, to find a way to really be able to listen to not just the words, but also the meaning of what we're going to share. It's not an accident that there's not something on your screen. It would simply create many-tasking and multitasking. The very best in adult education and research for the kind of work that we do means the more notes you make, the more notes you take, the more we transfer and infuse the knowledge for you. We simply call that the coach or coaching approach, and that is certainly our goal here. As you're listening to our Media Bits Power Hour today, Jed and myself have three goals. Number one, we want to share new ideas to stretch and spur your thinking. Number two, we want to confirm the things that you're doing match and mirror best practices. So if there's something you hear during the course of this next hour that matches what you're doing, bravo. That means that you're deploying the very best across the media space. And then our third goal is the serendipitous, that as you're listening to Jed and myself talk about our topic today, moments of truth, KPIs, and so forth, other things may come up and crop up that may be not even directly related to what we're working on here, which is perfectly fine, a very natural part, and even for myself and Jed. Jed might say something and it spurs a story, or I may say something and he gives an example. So we always have enough sort of room for the serendipitous, and we encourage you to embrace the same. With me is Jed, the CEO and founder of Media Bits. Jed, how about some opening words? Tell us what's cooking in your world and what you're seeing and observing. I'll say a couple of brief words about Power Hour, and then we'll launch right into our topic, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Well, thanks very much, Ernest. First of all, I want to thank Ernest. He's a great source of information for many aspects of publishing. So I always learn a lot from these calls. Hopefully you will, too. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of Media Bids, and we are a company that is devoted to driving print revenue to print publications. We track all the ads that we place, and so we are firm believers in the performance of print. We can see firsthand on a daily basis what types of leads and customers print generates, and we advocate for publications on behalf, you know, with advertisers, so that they're part of the budget and are being thought of highly. You know, nothing generates the quality leads like print does, and we think that there's a lot to be pleased about in the world of print. So, you know, we would love to have your publication participate with us. There's no cost. We generate revenue on the advertiser side, so no cost to publications. And, you know, if you're using us currently, thank you very much. If you would like to learn more about us or would like to check out our website, it's mediabids.com, or, you know, give us a call anytime. We're always happy to speak to you about what we do and how we can help generate revenue for you. I will turn it over to Ernest.
Perfect. And just a capsule, Media Bids. Gosh, for the last 20-plus years, they place ads in tens of thousands of magazines, hundreds of thousands of ads have been purchased, and literally millions of inbound leads and prospects and revenue generated for publications and media companies like all of you. So for those of you that know Media Bids and you work with them, you got it. You got it. For those of you that maybe have not, come into MediaBids.com, and you will love the work that they are doing. My name is Ernest Orienti, very briefly by introduction. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales space back in 1986, launched three of my own publications, so I've been an entrepreneur like so many of you, then was a leader in a billion-dollar media group. So I've also worked for the very largest in our media space. I understand both sides. We launched Power Hour in 1995 and have now coached and guided, more than 20 2,700 advertising sales companies and teams and leaders and 14 time zones around the world. We just came back from a swing in April and May. We were in the UK working with clients in Ireland, in London, and clients in Europe, and just had a wonderful time to meet so many of you. And then our swing during the months of September, October, take us out across Canada and moving around the United States. If you ever want to ski and come enjoy the mountains, our corporate office is based in Park City, Utah, home of the Olympics, going all the way back. We provide executive coaching. We have a recruiting piece. We have a digital side, lots and lots that we do on that side. But really the flagship every Tuesday, we have an ad sales academy. This week we wrapped up week number 327, and we simply help you with your presentation, your business development, some of which we'll talk about here today, your negotiating and sales skills. We have a real passion for that. So just simply come in to powerhour.com. You can learn more about the work that we do on that side. And then, of course, we love working with Jed every single month for years and years and years, a decade plus, that we've done this year together to bring you ad sales strategies. Today, Jed, we're going to talk about moments of truth versus our ad sales KPIs. And there were some questions right out of the gate about KPI. What is a KPI? Simply our key performance indicators. In a nutshell, if we can look at where we've been, then we do a better job at forecasting and anticipating the future. We'll talk more about that, but kind of want to get that up and out of the gate. Jed, there are four key areas and four key questions that we want to both answer and talk about here today related to this. This is a topic, by the way, over all the years of us doing this, we've never really talked about moments of truth. We've woven in KPIs, so let's talk just for a second about moments of truth. Moments of truth are when you take your best friends to your favorite restaurant. Favorite Italian restaurant, you know the maitre d', you got your favorite table, you know the chef, you know the menu, you just expect and everything is just fabulous, and you roll in time after time after time, and that moment of truth is magical, right? You just know what to expect, and you know how the evening's going to go, and everything's going fabulous. Until we have that moment, kerplunk, that it doesn't. Okay? Moment of truths is where things go awry. Maitre d's not there, your table's not set, the server's not serving, the food is cold, and you're frankly flabbergasted, surprised, unhappy, maybe even disappointed or angry. Those are the moments of truth, right? Generally, moments of truth are when we win, we can celebrate, and the other side of it is when we fail, and we're going to talk about both sides of that and relate it to our media experience. Take a group, though, like Ritz-Carlton. Sometimes I like to look outside Jed of our media space and sort of bring it right back in. Ritz-Carlton, any employee at any moment in time can solve any problem for up to $2,500, right on the spot, boom, okay, no questions asked. So that's a moment that you say, hey, a moment of truth is, it's not going well, I'm at the Ritz, fix it, somebody does, and we're still talking about it, okay. Jed, there's this classic story. Back in the early 90s, we lived in Newport Beach. Our son was born, and we did things called staycation. We didn't know what it was then. It just meant we took our flip-flops, we packed a little bag, and we ran around the corner and stayed at a nice hotel. We didn't really go anywhere, checked in, and that was it, right? And this particular weekend, we went out to Palm Springs. It was a beautiful Ritz-Carlton. We'd go there four or five times a year. And we pull up, and they're like, what do you mean you're pulling up? The entire hotel has been reserved by a pharmaceutical company. 244 rooms. There's no availability. Which my wife and I looked at her and said, what do you mean there's no availability? What do you mean? We have a reservation. You must be kidding. They said, hang on for a second. Let us go check. Hey, look at that. The CEO is leaving early. We're going to put you in their suite. We so apologize. All your meals are comped. Go enjoy yourself. And it was the most amazing experience, Jed, because the hotel was either completely packed with 243 rooms or was completely empty. Like you could literally bowl down the walk. Walkways in the dining rooms because there was nobody there, right? It was this pharma company. They would take them off site and do a variety of things with them. So they checked us in. We had this amazing weekend. Come back on Sunday night, and my wife goes, you know, I'm going to go double-check my reservation. In those days, the reservations came in by fax. She goes to the fax machine. What is there? The reservation. Oh, yeah, it's confirmed. She goes, oh, my gosh, Ernest. It wasn't the Ritz in Palm Springs. We were supposed to be at the Ritz in Pasadena. We went to the wrong hotel. Okay? Now, I tell that story. Here I am, 30 years later, telling that story because it was a moment of truth. So it's not how far we fall if we fail or have a problem with an advertiser. It's how we recover and how we bring it back around. And the other classic story is Nordstrom's, who has this policy of bring anything back, no receipt, whatever you want. And the classic story of a person returning tires to Nordstrom's. Nordstrom's doesn't sell tires, but they fixed it, right? So moments of truth. So let's convert that, Jed, into the advertiser experience, right? How do we set the expectation for an advertiser right up front, what I call the pre-ad buy or sale, right? We're getting ready to make a presentation. We're making a presentation. There's an agreement that they're going to fold in to our media solutions for them. But this is the place where we have to set the expectations, where we have to clarify what kind of ad results, where we have to address the size of the ad and what that's going to bring. And then, of course, we also have to clarify ad tracking. How are you going to track? What have you tracked with other mediums and other ad sources, and what have you found along the way? Jed, in prior teleseminars, you've spoken for a moment or two about expectations, ad size, black and white versus color, larger ads, smaller ads, and the importance of ad tracking. So maybe there's a couple of comments you'd like to make related to that.
Sure. I mean, so one of the things that we do at MediaBiz is we track every ad that we place in a variety of methods, but the primary one is by putting a unique phone number into every ad. What this allows us to do is to see exactly who's responding to an ad, what time, where they're located, how long they spend on the phone. You can get more exotic with the details that you're gathering, but those are sort of the basics. And what's nice about that is that it really changes your approach with an advertiser. Once you have that information, you can sort of tell the advertiser how they're doing, as opposed to sort of hoping that they tell you that they're doing well. So once you have that information, right, once you can see the types of response that each ad is getting, you can then, sort of extrapolate from that, right? And you can say, okay, well, half-page color ads perform better than half-page black and white ads. I mean, we find in general, just sort of generally speaking, our best ad size is a quarter-page vertical. We find that generally does almost as well as half pages. And when you factor in, the cost of the space from sort of a buying perspective, very often a quarter page is worth more than one quarter the price of a full page, so to speak. So, a half page isn't always worth more than half the price of a full page. So you can also gather information about sort of the long-term effects of an ad. One of the things which is really interesting about print, which you really can't sort of underestimate, is the long tail of an advertising campaign. So an ad that runs today, we'll still be getting calls very often several months from now. So it's not, print isn't the kind of medium where people are responding to an ad immediately and then throwing it away and never responding to it again the way that they might respond to a radio or TV ad per se. Print ads stick around for a while. And so we very often will see calls come in weeks and months later. That's something which again just sort of factors into the overall effectiveness of an ad and the overall effectiveness of what your advertiser is doing with you. I think that, that the other big component that tracking allows you to do is to kind of drill down on the actual offer in the ad. And this is perhaps the most important aspect of the success or failure of an ad we find very often is what is actually being advertised. I mean, one of the things that we see over and over again in print is that print consumers are educated. Print consumers do research very often before they make a phone call. They know whether an offer is competitive. They know whether a product or service that's being offered is being offered at a competitive price, and they are much more likely to respond to something that's competitive than something that is perhaps, you know, just over the price of an offer that they've seen online. It's always a little shocking to me, as a consumer who probably isn't as likely to, you know, to do research and get, save an extra, $5 a month on a product or service. You know, I'm always a little bit surprised at what enormous impact it has, but it really seems to. So, you know, by tracking an ad, you can show an advertiser what it is that they're the performance of not just the ad in your publication, but the performance of the offer that they're putting out there. And you will see that there's a big difference. You know, when it comes to the price point of the product or service that's being offered, when it comes to the how it's framed. You know, whether it's something that is, an upfront cost. You know, another big factor that's interesting to track with these things is it better or worse to put the price of the product or service in the ad? You know, if you put the price in the ad, you generate fewer phone calls in general. If you don't put the price in the ad, a lot of times the phone calls that you do generate are people who are wondering what the price is. So it's an interesting sort of conundrum, and every product and service has a different way of approaching it and a different, sort of sweet spot. You know, if you're selling, a mattress, for example, if someone's selling a mattress and this is a super-duper mattress that does, 50 things really well and the people in the store are great salespeople, it may not be worth it to put the price, right? Because you want people to call, you want them to talk to those salespeople, as opposed to, someone who's selling something relatively generic and maybe they don't have the same kind of sales staff. Maybe you do need to put the price because the price is the main motivator for calling, as opposed to all these other sort of advantages that the product may have. So, we're strong advocates, and we've talked in other phone calls at great length about, the advantages of tracking and some of the things that you can do with it. But I think that, I think that there's sort of an infinite number of ways that you can use the information. But the main thing is gathering the information up front, right? If you're able to get that information, you're really able to do a lot with it.
Mm-hmm. A story on that, and just so all of you know, when Jed and I come here together, we know the topics we're going to cover and the points, but when we kind of defer back and forth to each other, it's not like Jed has a 42-page script in front of him. He doesn't need it. This is the stuff that we do all day long working with media groups, media companies. You know, today is Thursday, tomorrow's Friday. That's how we respond to each other's questions and comments back and forth. Jed, back to that example of media tracking, I remember sitting down with a group that was making national buys, and we were talking about their tracking system, and I said, show me this, and then show me this, and then what happens, and then what happens, and then what happens. And they're like, oh, no, you're already in the computer, you're here, you're getting tracked. I'm like, I know, but could you just confirm, we're here together? Oh, yeah, sure, honestly, let me turn the screen, and blah, blah, blah. Hang on, you're not there. Hang on, you're not there. Hang on, you're not there. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, thank God I was up front confirming expectations. And by the way, this is a story that goes back 3 decades ago. I was doing the same thing that we're talking about today, validating what their tracking system was, validating that we're embedded in their computer, validating that I could even get credit for the job that I was doing. Nothing has changed related to that. You still have to ask the expectations, know what they're going to track, know how they're going to track, and then have some sense of how others have done, similar to what Jed is talking to you about ad size and type of ads and type of offers. Nothing has changed related to that. It's the same language, same jargon. You have to deploy it. And the value of the ad tracking that you do and the capturing of those ad results is vitally important. We'll cover that at the very end of our teleseminar, but vitally important if you want to sell your company for a premium at the end. Do not show up on my desk 20 years into your company, have no ad tracking, and say, oh my gosh, but we're 20 years in our biz and we want to sell for a premium. Yeah, but you don't have any validation behind the scenes, and we can't go back and recreate the last 20 years. We can't even go back and recreate the last 20 minutes because you don't have that validation. So please, everything we talk about today, you need to incorporate and build into your approach today so that you have something valuable on the back end whenever you're ready to sell your media group. Let's continue related to setting the stage. Making certain, you know, once you get that pre-work done, then the next part is what? The actual ad is ready to go. Is it in the newsletter? Is it on the website? Is it in print? You know, is the ad right and correct? Jed, I know we've had a moment, right? Wrong phone number, wrong picture, wrong logo, wrong offer, wrong ad. We've all been down that path. Ouch. So confirm, the ad is correct. Stay close with those advertisers the first week to validate how they're tracking along. Jed, to your point, you go, hey, Ernest, the ads are hitting, and we're already looking at the phone calls that are coming in. We already know, boy, this one really took off, or this one's been a little slower. Stay close with the advertisers over the course of that first month. We were working with one of our media groups, and they were talking about a particular advertiser. It was a pool company. They were talking about the number of leads in the first 48 hours, and then the value of the leads, how many leads came in, and then what is the typical what is the typical price of a pool? You multiply it out, it's like, wait a minute, that was $100,000, that was $150,000 in bids that went out. And then if I stay with you one more week and I learn what percent of those you've closed, what an amazing story. These are the moments of truth. An ad goes out and the ad results come in, but if you're not there to capture them, then you're not there able to validate. And then you can't tie that into what? Sort of your brag sheet of the amazing results you're generating. Then you can also tie that into what? Testimonials from that pool company. Then you can have them come into what? Google and do Google reviews talking about how strong you're doing, and then you get to build that into a case study with a once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was a pool company. Let me tell you what happened in the first 48 hours. Let me tell you the value of the proposals that went out. Let me tell you what happened a week later when they closed half of those and generated $75,000 on an ad that had only been out 48 hours. Boom. Oh, and by the way, second part of that case study, and they used to advertise with my direct competitor by the name of Boom. Okay, so all of those good and great things come when you stay right there, moments of truth. On the other side, when things go awry, if you've blown and didn't get right the logo, the photo, the phone number, man, oh man, tough to do. If it's on the digital side, you can fix it, what, almost immediately. On the print, not as easy, okay? I've had all kinds of things that media groups have done to go fix problems, including buying phone numbers to the wrong number or paying somebody who will take that call and say, gee, I'm sorry, yes, we know the ad was incorrect. Yes, you do what you do want is you want Simmons Pools here, let me give you that number, and literally pay for those calls. We've done all kinds of fix-ins. But the biggest piece is get to the root cause. How did it happen? How did you get the wrong logo, the wrong phone number, the wrong phone? How did any of that happen? Get to the root cause. You do not want reoccurring themes. You do not want reoccurring problems. I've seen problems with ads, ad approvals. I've seen ads with printers and the way that files get migrated, the way things get proofed. I think, Jed, you and myself have been around the block for tons of those examples. And the most important piece is that's a moment of truth that we don't want to have happen. That's the moment of truth where we can show that we can fix it, but quite honestly, we don't want to spend a lot of time fixing those problems. We have to get it right the first time. Jed, any comments on that before we move to our next point and question?
You know, just a quick one. I mean, you know, one of the things, I mean, you know, mistakes are so frustrating, right? And they happen to everyone, and even the most careful systems of checking can't alleviate one of the big sources of mistakes, and that is that the advertiser just gives you wrong information, right? And so, I mean, that's one of the things that's nice about tracking is that when you have some insight into how responses are going, you're able often to catch problems before an advertiser even sees them. So, you know, we've had cases where, you know, an advertiser has, for example, forgotten to tell us about call center hours or forgotten to tell us, you know, or given us the wrong endpoint number, or we see that, you know, all the calls are really short, right? The first five calls last, you know, only 10 seconds, you know, and so within the first couple of days, we're able to say to the advertiser, hey, what's going on with these? You know, it doesn't seem, and then they check into a few things and it turns out, oh, it's not being routed correctly in our system. You know, we'll fix that right away. Whereas if we didn't have insight into that, you know, we may not find out about that problem, you know, for a month. So it isn't the answer to all problems, right? Obviously, you can't reprint a phone number that's wrong, but it certainly helps you understand a problem faster, which oftentimes makes it easier to correct.
Yep, you bet. So get to the root cause is absolutely key. So let's migrate to the second question and the second key area that we promised to talk about, KPIs versus moments of truth, right? Key performance indicators versus the moments of truth. And so tied to our business development, our selling strategies, okay? And what we've learned about media groups over three decades of directly doing it in our corporate days, plus working with media groups all over the world, a reoccurring theme. The best visual we have is business development, and our sales and selling is like a shark. We must keep swimming to keep feeding to survive, okay? Because in the end, even if you're renewing, if you have 100 advertisers, even if you're renewing at 80 and 90%, you're still losing, what, 10 or 20%? In order to grow your net gain and continue your growth, you still need new biz to drive that, and it is the lifeblood of our biz. One of the downfalls, we've covered this in other teleseminars, is you take a really, really strong shark, a really strong salesperson, and they have no accounts, and then they load 50 on their portfolio, and then they have 70, and then they have 100. They're the best paid service rep servicing those, but they're no longer selling like they initially were. We've covered that in prior teleseminars and the solution related to that, but if any of you are in that place, or if you have those on your team that are in that place that have literally capped their potential, and your best salespeople have now turned into your best service people, we've got strategies to fix that. That's a good problem, but it needs to be fixed from that perspective. We believe there's 27 business development strategies. For those of you who are part of our Sales Academy every Tuesday, we work around those strategies to help you specifically. Some of the things that we look at are percent of biz that's coming in new versus existing, right? We look at number of sales presentations when we talk about our KPIs, number of sales presentations in a given week, in a given month. How does this month compare to last month? How does this quarter compare to last quarter? How does this quarter compare to last same quarter last year, even adjusting for seasonality? We also look at, and we encourage you to look at, the closing success ratio. Simply means, if I make 10 presentations, what percent of those am I closing and generating revenue from that perspective? It's an important area to look at. It's not the only factor, but we notice such disparity within it. We'll look at 10 sales reps in a media group, and we wonder why three are closing at 80%, right, the top three, and the bottom three are closing at 10%, and we're all out selling the same media solutions, okay? So much of what we can see from those KPIs sync right up related to what we're talking about today. Looking at your renewal percentages, once again, we'll see the top three on a team of 10. The top three are renewing at 80 and 90%. The bottom three are renewing at 10 and 20%. What's the difference? Same media platform. So much of that is around the coaching and the training and really giving the bottom three what they need in order to perform at the top three. There's no reason why it happens like that. We also look at part of the KPIs and that moment of truth is, how are we doing in that particular category? You know, what's happening in that particular category? For those of you, for example, that are selling ads, you know, to RV dealerships, you know, how many are out there and how many are we selling to and how many are just with us or how many are just with competitors, you know, really being very honest about what's happening in that category. To step back, for those of you that are selling into newspapers or business journals or city magazines, then we break it out a little differently. We sort of look category by category, which categories and how deep, which categories have the most potential that we might add on or bolt in. So there's a lot of ways, depending on your ad sales focus, how to look at the categories. And then to sort of take a look at the ads you're selling versus your competitors. For example, what are the ad size differences? Are you selling all the small ones? Your competitors are selling all the largers. Why is that? Or vice versa. What's happening within the categories themselves? What's happening to the revenue? What's happening to the ad drop reports? Who's keeping the most? Who's renewing the most? most? What categories are coming out? Which advertisers are upgrading? These are the KPIs, and we're doing a very fast flyby because literally each of these topics, we could spend 10 or 15 or 20 minutes really going deep on these, but suffice it to say that there's lots of things to measure in the media world. The more you measure, A, what you know about you and your media team, and B, what you know about your competitors in the space, you get a better sense of what. What is our strategy, and what is it we're missing, and where are the opportunities? Years ago, I was working with a media group in Canada, Jed, and we were taking a look at one of their particular publications, and we were looking, and they were like, yeah, but this is really the cap, and the sales, and the rev, this, this, and that. I'm like, okay, but hang on. What in the world's happening with your competitors? Who are they? You got three of them. Great. I want to see your ad drop reports. Great. Let's do a revenue run on what's literally out there. Gulp. We're getting 10%. Of what's going on out here. You know, I realize that we haven't looked at that particular, media property, but what's going on? I mean, that we're getting 10%, and you're telling me that the rev is flat. You know, there's plenty of money being spent. We're just not getting our piece of it, okay? So looking by category, looking by competitor, there's lots to share. One more piece about KPIs and moments of truth ties to our distribution and or circulation. We have those of you that have free circ, paid circ, controlled circ, doesn't matter which that circ is, you still have what? An impact on ad results. Which ads are working? Jed, to your point, which sizes, which offers, which geography? For example, you'll sort of pause and go, gosh, we're in the city of, fill in the blank, Munich, Dublin, Vancouver, San Diego. How come advertisers north of this freeway are doing better and the south are not? Huh, interesting, in our free circ model. Or what's happening with our controlled circ this year versus last year? We made a shift in the psychographics and demographics. Are the trends up or the trends down? What's happening related to that? It all dovetails into what? Your business development success, because when you can spot those trends, you can lean in and take advantage of them. So let's go back to the pool company example. You go, God, we are doing amazing for pool companies. Great. So how many more pool companies are there out there, and how many more are we going to go sell? Because this is an amazing opportunity. But what's going on with landscapers? Landscapers are really trailed off. There's something going on there. And until you drill down and could answer that, you'll continue to have problems with the landscapers, and you'll never really sell out that category. Then you go over to your competitors and go, wait a minute. Yeah, but there's, Ernest, there's 126 other landscapers advertising across four of my competitors. How come I'm not getting a piece? Well, because you haven't answered the question why your media source is not driving the results. Jed, before we wrap up this point, additional comments or observations related to CERC, ad results, or anything else related to these measurables?
I guess I would just say from a practical perspective, I am always amazed at sort of, how all of these things can factor into the results that an ad is generating. There have been many, many times where we have spent, either our own money or our clients' money to place ads in publications that seemed like an absolute surefire, can't-miss opportunity, only to find out that, we were dead wrong about, one of the many components that Ernest just mentioned. And another publication that we didn't think was going to do nearly as well ends up being, an absolute home run. It's something that is very, very difficult to sort of look at all the factors at one time and make a prediction. And that's why, since it's so difficult to do that, that's why, your best bet is to sort of take the tact that, history will repeat itself. And so if an ad does well in a publication, it's almost impossible to figure out exactly why. There are just some publications that do well with some products and other publications that look the same and have seemingly very similar readers demographically, just don't do as well. There's many examples that we've run into, and I'm sure that your advertisers are the same. So that's why, gathering this information, keeping it, and then you know, and then sort of learning from it is just so important, you know. You'll find that, you know, verticals, you know, and not surprisingly, verticals tend to mimic one another. So if you have a, you know, a satellite television offer that does very, very well, you know, that's a certain type of person, right? It might be the same type of person as a home alarm type of a person, right? So, you know, if a satellite television offer does well, you know, a home alarm offer is probably going to do well, you know, in the same way that, you know, more home services, if you have a, you know, something, you know, something that's focused on fixing up your home, you know, there's a whole host of categories that'll do well with that, you know. But if someone does well with a home category, it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll do well with a satellite television category. You know, it's funny that way. So to mimic Ernest, it's really important to gather this information, and you will learn things that you had no idea you didn't know.
Absolutely, and that's the very essence of what we're talking about with these KPIs, these key performance indicators. If we do them right, they will, and we are measuring the right things. We can review the past, for which is about 20% of the work, and the 80% is what? Predicting the future, about where we're going to go. But if you don't have the past in the back, then it's tough to see where you're going forward. You've got to be able to identify the KPIs related to your sales and business development success. Let's move to the third point and the third question that we promised to cover, talking about KPIs looking at financial performance, okay? And I don't want to skip over compensation performance for those of you, because we have sort of two audiences. We have those of you on the selling and sales side, and then we have those of you on the leadership and ownership side. So let's kind of go down both paths. For those of you on the compensation side, the ultimate moments of truth is what? What am I getting paid? What is my performance this year compared to last year? How are my commissions tracking along? What percent of my biz is new biz, the lifeblood, like we've been talking about? How am I doing with my renewal percentages? Where am I with my career path, right? If you're looking at your own, if it's to be, it's up to me, and you're looking at your own sort of pod of where you are, those are the key pieces, right? And those are the things that should be on your dashboard that you're measuring as part of your KPIs. Your renewal percentages, percent of new biz, obviously net gain, right? Net gain is what? If I sell two ads and lose two ads, my net gain is zero. So, yeah, I'm working hard, but I lost two. And by the way, those two become what? Former advertisers. We've done entire teleseminars just on that topic. It is tougher to sell former advertisers than it is to keep current advertisers, okay? So your net gain is vitally key. And then what is your, in your career path, what is it you really are playing for 1, 3, 5, 10 years forward? Where do you really want to be? All right, and what is it you really need? Is it to brush up on your PowerPoint? Is it improve your Excel? Is it your speaking, a la Toastmasters? You want to be up on your feet, giving more presentations. You know, what is it you want to be doing, and where do you want to be professionally? We always are going to challenge all of you to stretch and reach and play big from that perspective. Let's bring it back to the financial side of the house. For those of you in a leadership perspective, right, if we were sitting down and having a conversation about your media group and our working and coaching with you and your team, you know, some of the things we're going to talk about, your revenue growth. Where are we this year compared to last year? Hey, let's even go back one more year. Where were you that, you know, 12, 24, 36 months? What are the prevailing trends? How about your profit, or technically your EBITDA? What's happening on the profitability? Are you pleased with those trends or not? How are those trending? Your renewal percentages, we've been talking about that. It's a very important piece to consider. The renewal percentage may feel like, you know, gee, isn't that just a product of biz that you sell sell 10 and you lose 5? Well, no, it's actually you sell 10 and you keep 10. You know, and that means on the day you're ready to sell your company, your story is really strong, compelling, and powerful. A little side note related to that, we sometimes bump into media groups that'll say, oh gosh, yes, our renewal is very high, but gee, we haven't done a rate increase in 4 years. That's not a positive sign either, because that speaks to the lack of confidence in the strength of your media solutions. And on a minimum, once a year, we expect that you are increasing your rate card going into the beginning of each and every year. Another barometer that we look at is agreement length. You know, for those of you that pause and go, gosh, all of our agreements, 90% are annual, they're long-term agreements, that's very, very positive. For those of you that the agreement lengths are shorter, that's a challenge on two levels. One, if you have 100 advertisers and they're all on annual agreements, that's 100 times you're going to handle a renewal, okay? If they're all on a month-to-month, that's, not to exaggerate, but that's 12 times 100 is 1,200 moments of truth. Hello? I like 100 better than 1,200 in that extreme example if everything's on a month-to-month. Little whisper about month-to-month, and a comment is this, that's exposure. And if you try to go sell your media company and everybody's on a month-to-month, that is a problem because a buyer's going to go, wait a minute, I'm going to write you a check for how much, and everybody's on a month-to-month, and 30 days from now, everybody can cancel and walk out the door. I'm not paying you a penny. I may pay you a little bit, but I'm not going to pay you a full amount until we get out a full year and I really have an amount of confidence. Do not go down that slippery slope. There is a lot of exposure. We have sometimes bumped into media groups where they'll come to us and say, yeah, gosh, we added a competitor. A good portion of our advertisers are on a month-to-month, and guess what? We got cancellation letters in a really big way. They moved over to the competitor. And I was like, well, frankly, on my watch, that would never have happened. You have way too much exposure with those month-to-months, and that is a byproduct of that. By the way, it works in reverse. Competitors who have lots of month-to-month agreements, we can also eat into their pie really, really nicely. Additional moments of truth, cash flow. Cash flow, AR, and collections. What's sitting out there in terms of those receivables? It's not a good sign for anything that gets out beyond 45 days. In my corporate days, Jed, Charlie ran our collections AR finance department, and I'll never forget, she came into our first day of training. It was June of 1988, a billion-dollar media group, and she literally stood in front of us, folded her arms, crossed them over, and said, hey, she said, an ad is not an ad sold until an ad is paid for, period. And that stung me and stuck with me. Three decades later, here I am telling the story of Charlie with one sentence that she said. It was a reminder that we get paid for the ads. And then she would say, hey, Ernest, remember, too, out beyond 40 days and out beyond 60 days, we're already aging that off. We're already saying you're not going to collect it. We're like, what? What are you talking about? Of course we're going to collect it. No, you're not going to. And guess what? She was right. Do not let stuff go out beyond 30. And even at 45 days, you're already down a slippery slope on that side. So watch how that's tracking. Another KPI we look at, percent of revenue and profitability tied to your print ads versus your newsletter versus your digital side. We're not going to skip over that. And certainly taking a look at the performance of your distribution or your circulation if you're on the paid side. So these are all the things that we look at from a KPI. Again, each of these topics, we could take 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. Today, for the purpose of our teleseminar, we're giving you a telescope view, a big picture view. But these are the areas related to financial performance. Check the boxes. You want to get them right. You need to get them right. If you're not, reach out, talk to Jed, talk to myself, let us know what it is you're bouncing into, let us know what you're observing. Jed, other observations or areas related to moments of truth and financial performance that you've seen?
You know, I think that, you know, I think you raised some good ones. I think that advertisers very often, you know, in terms of financial performance that advertisers are generating and what, you know, and how it relates to your ad rates. I think that, you know, advertisers will always be in a situation where they're fighting you on the prices. You know, it's in their best interest, right? And I think one of the mistakes that publications very often make in this area is to create a scenario where advertisers are rewarded for complaining. So the more you complain, right, the lower the price goes, because the natural instinct is for most publications is, look, let's do what we can to get this advertiser in the publication. You know, I personally think a better way to do it is for publications to say, look, how many customers do you need to make this ad worthwhile for you? What can we do to make sure you get that many customers? And sort of add on to it as opposed to taking away price. So whether that means adding in additional email blasts or adding in website presence or adding in, you know, an extra ad, I'm just making stuff up. But, you know, there's many, most publications have a lot on their, you know, in their, on their menu that they can use. So I think that the, you know, the better way to deal with sort of the age-old problem of how do you get an advertiser who's complaining about price in the publication, I think is to add more value as opposed to take away price.
Yep, that's a valid point. And as you're listening to Jed speak about that, it's a very significant way that you place yourself in the minds of advertisers. And then it also goes all the way back to the very beginning when we talked about, you know, staying close to advertisers, getting their ad results, knowing what their average, like that pool company example, knowing the average proposal that they go out, then a week later what they've closed. There's so many great stories. You got to stay close to the advertisers and know what's working and be able to deliver on your promise. Absolutely vital to Jed's point. Let's shift gears. There's one additional point we want to talk about, and that is, again, for those of you from a leadership and from an ownership perspective, there will come a day that you're ready to sell your ad and media company, okay? It doesn't matter if it's today, tomorrow, the next day. What we do know is this. Please don't show up on our doorstep, you know, oh, my gosh, 20 years has been amazing. We're ready to sell for a premium. And us begin to go through the list of questions you've heard here and many more that we're going to ask you. You cannot go back and microwave popcorn the answers. For example, ad tracking, if you don't have that in place and haven't had that in place and you don't have the historical trends and ad results and by ad size and by geography and by category, if you don't have that, you know, our comment's going to be, great, but a buyer, what is a buyer buying and how are they going to buy your media solutions unless you can validate it, okay? So it's important to recognize the most profound thing we're going to say to you related to this point is, the preparation to sell your media company, your publications, your digital footprint, it begins today. It's every day leading all the way up. Even if you want to sell something in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, you still have to do the things that we've been talking about in today's teleseminar and even more. So let's circle back to some of those things. Your business development strategy, swimming like a shark, absolutely vital that you can prove, that you can validate, that your CRM has everything there. You know, when we talk to company owners, and leaders in the space, we talk about the CRMs, and we say, look, the CRMs are tended to do two things, help you guide and coach your sales team, and if there's a transition from a salesperson A to salesperson B, they can step right in and know exactly where things were, pick right back up, and there's literally a seamless handoff, okay? And so, therefore, that's the same question that a buyer is going to ask, which is there a seamless handoff? Can you show us your business development strategies? Can you walk us through your CRM? Can you show us the processes? Can you show us the dashboard, presentations, closing success, renewal percentages? Can you walk us through all of that? Absolutely vital, because remember that a buyer is going to take about a 20% look at where we've been and an 80% looking at the potential going forward, and the better job you do of documenting that, the more success you'll have. Next point, financial performance, yes, but a buyer's looking for also your ability to forecast the future. And some of the things, a little story related to this, back again in my media days, there was a group by the name of Dylan Reed who bought our media group. Paid $25 million, financed that with putting $8 million down, and sold it for $98 million 3 years later. Amazing story. Jed, in those days, the world of private equity, I don't think anybody even knew what that was, but today we do. And in those days, that we were an absolute, just headed out of the park home run for Dylan Reed, a private equity group. And one of the things they had us do was look at market share and market penetration. It's one of the things that really stuck with me, and it was really a measurement of how many ads have you sold compared to your competitors, and then what is the revenue you sold compared to your competitors, and how does that stack up? Then they had us take it a step further, and they had us say, how many advertisers are just with you, Ernest, and looking out across all of these publications? How many are in you plus one other? How many are in you plus two others? How many are in one or two of your competitors but not in you? Now, I'm going to tell you, that sounds like one of those tongue twisters. Peter Piper picked a pepper. I remember that. They kept rolling it out. Market share, market penetration, and how many, and how many. And I remember just being bedazzled. It was one of those things, Jed. I was like, ah, you guys are killing me. And there was this New York group, and our corporate offices were in Georgia, and I was out in California and time zones, and the requests just kept coming along. But I now today, and remember, looking back at it, that was really an important analysis because they were really trying to see how big our footprint was, how much potential was there, and then by ads and also sizing up the competitors. And guess what? They were right. It was one of the most profound. There was one other profound thing I'll comment on, and that was they couldn't figure out. They're like, we're looking at 80 markets, and you guys are all, for the most part, with the same distribution, same ad approach, similar profile of advertisers. But how come, you know, this the city of St. Louis is only renewing 10%, but the market in Seattle is renewing 90%? How come San Diego is growing by double digits, and how come Washington, D.C. is going backward by double digits? They just couldn't figure it out. It was just this bedazzling, and they had like 80 cities they were looking at. So there was enough of a sort of, you know, enough analysis, enough data to make it meaningful. They just couldn't figure it out. So they said to the finance department, we want you to put all of the financials up on a graph. We want to put them up on the wall. And we want to just lean back and sit in this conference room until we figure out why the difference in performance. And, you know, we're going round and round. The hours are going by. And then we began to talk about, wait a minute, what changed here? And the graph went from poor to up. Oh, we hired a new sales director. Okay, put that person's name. Hey, what happened over here? Hey, we fired this person, but then we added a new person. Oh, well, look what happened. It went down, but then it went back up. Hang on, why is this market dropping? Well, we've had a poor performance, and we put this person on a performance shoe. Hang on, make a note of that. All of a sudden, the epiphany of what? People make a difference. People matter. And it was so obvious, Jed. It was sitting right in front of us. Okay? So the point about, preparing your company to be sold, people matter. Having the right people on the right bus and the right seat doing the right job really do matter in media sales, okay? Ad tracking, another biggie we've talked about. Just cannot stress that enough, the importance of having your data and what that data says and what that represents. Another big point, non-competes. Key team members. A buyer is going to ask, where are the non-competes? What does that represent? What does that mean? Who are the key people? Are they likely to stay on board? Do we want them to stay on board? You know, how do you fold those people in? Golden handcuffs was one of the things when Dylan Reed stepped in. They went out across the top 15 or so of us and said, look, we want you to stay. Here's a payout. Here's the formula. Here's how it works. But guess what? You got to be here till the end. So if we sell the company in 3 years and one day and you leave in year 3 years and you're not there for that last one day, you get nothing. Golden handcuffs. It was a way of keeping us at the table and performing and being fully committed from that perspective. So how do you tie in your people? Let's go over to the digital side. What is your digital footprint? How about the subscribers to your newsletter? How about your SEO success? How about your Google Analytics that shows your inbound activity on your website's up 74% this year versus last year? And it's up 210% versus the prior year. What is your footprint on that side? And then what is the level of engagement? It's not just those that come to your website, but then you should be able to measure what? The interaction with advertisers and the number of clicks and the number of leads and the ROI on that side to be able to show that. Same with your newsletter. How are your newsletter subscribers growing? How is this year compared to last year? Right? How about the clicks that are driving to advertisers, advertisers to ad results to the phone, ad tracking on the other side? It all links up together. All of that tells what? A very compelling story. All of these things matter. This story of the value of your company, let's go back to, in general, your own revenue growth and success. It's like a burlap bag. Take a piece of string, okay, weave it together. It's a burlap bag. It'll hold something. Unravel one or two of those pieces of string. It goes right back to what? A ball of string. The world of media is a complex network of putting all of the strategies together. I have never seen the silver bullet. I've never seen a magic carpet. I've never seen microwave popcorn. What I have seen and what Jed and I have seen over the years is good companies, good people doing the right thing, line it all up, good and great things happen and great ad results happen, and then more and more and more follow behind. Okay? Jed, closing comments or remarks related to those observations?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know as much. I don't know a small fraction of the amount you do about selling publications. But you know, everything you're talking about makes an awful lot of sense. I think, I think it's probably, you know, they sort of, you know, they all sort of feed into one another, right? If you're doing it right, sort of operationally, it probably just makes it, you know, makes it that much easier to prepare yourself for a sale down the road as well.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Absolutely. And that is the part that is key from that perspective. And we encourage each of you and all of you to think about what we've shared today and about our teleseminar and about the educational opportunity. Jed and myself are always here for and with you, and we are more than happy to answer any additional questions you have for us. Also, if there's a topic or a challenge or an opportunity that you see happening in the marketplace or things that we can provide for you, please let us know. Your topics, your questions inspire us, so we always appreciate that. Please take the time to go look at Media Bids. For those of you who already work with them, you know the value that they bring. For those of you that are not or are listening to this after we finish up our live teleseminar, come into MediaBids.com and take the opportunity to learn about what they do. And then, of course, come into Power Hour, and you'll see the things that we have done for the last 24 years with media groups around the world. Jed, it's always a pleasure working here together. Thank you so much for the support for you and your team. And, of course, looking forward to our working together next month. So thank you so much. And to each and all of you, thank you for joining us here for today's educational teleseminar. Jed, any additional closing comments?
No, thanks very much for joining us. And thanks, Ernest, for all the information.
Beautiful. Thanks, everybody. Make it a great day, and we'll see you next month. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.